Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace at this time. Father Yahweh, we truly, humbly bow before you on this, your holy Sabbath day. We come before you, Father, to ask for a blessing. We ask that your word that we would hear this day would have free course in our hearts, that you would cause us, Father, to yield to you, because truly we know that you are the first great cause. It's you, Father, that have created all things. And through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who did the creating, Father, you've given him the power and authority over all things. Help us, Father, to yield to you and to your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who came and emptied himself from his heavenly nature to be flesh just like us. He's shown us and given us the example, Father, of how we can overcome this world. So, Father, help us to be faithful in all things. Help us to walk in the footsteps of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and forgive us for our sin, Father, because you know that we're merely fresh, really frail. And, Father, you've given us the power to overcome Satan the devil in this world. Through your Holy Spirit, Father, all we have to do is resist him, and he'll flee far from us. Again, Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, asking for a blessing on this day and this service. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled Mobile Idolatry. Can you put down your mobile phone for at least 2 hours per week? Or are you so important that you need to have access 24/7 to the people that are in your circle? Are we so self-important that we can't give Almighty Yahweh his time? If we can't give Almighty Yahweh his time, then we are idolaters, brother. Our society has become obsessed with texting and tweeting and being texted or tweeted. Brethren, Almighty Yahweh doesn't text. He doesn't tweet. He doesn't answer email. But he does answer email. I pray that we can focus more on him and what he wants each of us to do. Let's take the focus off ourselves and put the focus on our Heavenly Father. Turn to Leviticus chapter 19. We'll start in there in verse 1. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. Every man of you shall fear his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Turn not to idols, nor make to yourself molten Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So Yahweh is trying to get our attention here. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 3. And Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So Yahweh is telling us that we need to keep his commandments. And the first one, the first commandment here that we're trying to establish is to abstain from idolatry. Exodus chapter 34, verse 10. And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels, such as has not been wrought in all the earth, or in any nation. And all the people among which you are shall see the work of Yahweh, for it is a terrible thing that I do with you. Observe you that which I command you this day. Behold, I drive out before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Havite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you go. But you shall break down their altars." "And dash in pieces their pillars. And you shall cut down their Asherim. For you shall worship no other El. For Yahweh, who is zealous for his name, is a jealous El. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. And they play the harlot after their Elohim, and sacrifice to their Elohim. And one calls you, and you eat of his sacrifice. And you take of their daughters to your sons, and their daughters play the harlot after their Elohim. And you make your sons to play the harlot after their Elohim. You shall make no molten Elohim." Now, today, we're talking about not just molten Elohim, because, yeah, they formed these mighty ones out of clay. They formed them out of gold. They formed them out of silver. But I'm telling you, you can have a mighty one that's in your heart and in your mind. Your cell phone can be your mighty one. Now, you say, well, why am I saying this? Because it seems that we have so many people who are dying today because they're too busy texting when they're driving. They're too busy doing things that take their attention away from what they should be thinking about. Okay? Now, again, today is the Sabbath. It's a holy day. Many people will sit here at services. They'll get a text. Their phone is bleeping, bleeping, bleeping. Everybody that they should care about should be there with them at services, but not always the case. I understand that. Emergencies happen. Things come up. Now, what emergency is going to happen that you can change while you're sitting in service? It might be something, I need to know about this because something happened to one of my children. Or something happened to one of my family members. The question is, can you change what happens? The only thing you can do is pray about it. You can ask Yahweh to intervene. If that person is in another state, if they're in another country, if they're somewhere other than where you are, think about it. What can you do to change their circumstances and situation? There's nothing you can do other than ask Yahweh to intervene. See, so what happens is that it's like when that phone rings, it's yelling at you, answer me, the text, answer me. Who's in control, you or the text? Does that phone control you or do you control the phone? Think about it. See, so many people, you know, that's their life. Oh, this is my livelihood. This is my business. I do things, everything by this phone. But guess what? There's still a limit. You know? You still have to eat. You still have to sleep. What happens when you sleep? And I know that people have texted us while we were asleep. A lot of them waking us up. I try to turn my phone off or down because we still have the house phone, but if some emergency comes up, you'll still be able to get us because my wife's phone will be on. But mine you may not sign on. And most people, not that I'm not saying everybody, because there's people I have come in contact with, I do business with, who will call me during services. Okay, I'm not saying that everyone respects it, because everybody doesn't know. And it's our job to let them know what's going on in our lives, that we keep the Sabbath, and that day is holy. And that day being holy means that we don't do the things that we would do the other 6 days on the Sabbath. There's a separation. There is a separation. Turn over to right here. Yes. Turn the page over to Exodus 31, verse 12. We'll read down to 17. It says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, You must keep my Sabbaths, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you." That word sanctify means set apart for a holy or special purpose. If you've been set apart for a holy purpose, and Yahweh's people have, they've been set apart for a holy purpose to Him. He didn't set you apart for yourselves. Okay? You have 6 days to do what you want to do. But the Sabbath is special. It's a sign between Yahweh and His people. Verse 14, "Therefore you shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone that desecrates it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work in it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. Holy to Yahweh. Whoever does any work on the seventh day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. To observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, plural, for a perpetual covenant." That word perpetual means forever. It's not something that stops after 70 years. It continues. "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." The question is, are you one of his people? That's the question. That's the real question. Are you one of Israel? Are you one of Yahweh's people? See, because if that's a sign that you are one of his people, you know whether you're keeping the Sabbath. You know whether you're sanctified. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. "When Yahweh your Elohim shall bring you into the land, you are entering in to possess it, and shall cast out many nations before you, the Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Havite, and the Jebusite, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when Yahweh your Elohim shall deliver them up before you, and you shall defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter you shall not give to his son, nor his daughter shall you take to your son. For he will turn away your heart from following me, that they may serve other Elohim. So will the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you, and he will destroy you quickly. But you shall deal with them in this manner. You shall break down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars and hew down their asherim and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people." What makes you a holy people? The covenant of Almighty Yahweh. That's what makes you a holy people. That is what sanctifies you and sets you apart Yahweh Elohim has chosen you to be a people for his own possession above all nations that are on the face of the earth. Now, he chose you to be this holy nation, this holy people. And Yahweh, verse 7, did not set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because Yahweh loved you and because he desired to keep the oath. And this is the feast that we'll be keeping next weekend, Feast of Oath. It's called Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. And another term is the Feast of Oaths. Which he swore to your fathers, has Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that Yahweh Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful El, who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations and repays them that hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandment and the statutes and the ordinances which I command you this day to do them. Now, in verse 8 it says, second part, 8b, it says, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage. We were in bondage to sin, to Satan the devil, not Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They were in bondage to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh is a type of Satan the devil, okay? Now, when you think about our peer pressure that we're living under, the things that we do on a regular basis, everybody wants the latest technology. Everybody wants to get ahead of the game, okay? Now, you think about our smartphones and some of the things that they can do. Most of these things, the reason we have them is supposedly be for communication, a phone. But very few people even use them to call people. It's, like I said, texting, tweeting, all the data downloading from the Internet. You think about all that you can do with this thing. It's amazing that that little computer can do so many things. But it also takes people away from Yahweh when they're not thinking about what they're supposed to be doing. See, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Okay? Keep that in mind. He controls that. He can use it to his benefit. People are dying every day because they're texting while driving. Why is it so important to be in constant communication with your peers? There's nothing so important that you cannot stop. Pull over. Call or text if you must. Why must you put your life at risk for a text? You think about it. You see the commercials on TV about this person. They show a picture of the person and the partial text or whatever before they had the accident. That to me says something important. And there's so many people, oh, I can do this, I got this down, I can do it, you know, without a problem. Why is it so important? Think about who's in control. Are you truly giving over control to some other entity? Are you in control? Are you in control? I mean, yeah, they have to make it a law now. In most places, you can't text and drive. Yet people do it with impunity. They do it, oh, I can do it, until they have an accident. Until they hurt someone else. It's like drinking and driving, too. Okay? You've given over the influence. You've given it over to someone else. Even though it's you there, but you're not totally in control. Genesis chapter 31. We're going to look at mobile idolatry in the old days. Genesis 31. In verse 1 it says, "And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the face of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And Yahweh said to Jacob, Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field of his flock and said to them, I see your father's face that is not toward me as before, but the Elohim of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but Elohim suffered him not to hurt me. If he said, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flock bear speckled. And if he said, the ring streak shall be your wages, then bear all the flock ring streak. In this manner, Elohim has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at that time that the flock conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream, and behold, the he-goats which leaped upon the flock were rings streaked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of Elohim said to me in a dream, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift up your eyes and see all the he-goats which leap upon the flock are ring streaked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban has done to you. I am the El of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you vowed a vow unto me. Now arise and get from this land and return to the land of your birth. Now Yahweh was calling Jacob home, calling him home, telling Jacob he needed to make a decision. He was working for his father-in-law, who was more or less trying to take advantage of him, which he did by giving him the older daughter, Leah, when he was in love with the younger daughter. And this is how he ended up with 4 wives. But the moral of the story is that Jacob trusted Yahweh. He trusted Yahweh. And he was blessed for it. In verse 14 it says, And Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us and has also spent our money. For all the riches which Elohim has taken away from our father, that is ours and our children's now. Then whatever Elohim has said to you, do. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wife upon the camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his substance which he had gathered, the cattle of his getting, which he had gathered in Paddan Aram, to go to Isaac his father to the land of Canaan. Now Laban was gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole the teraphim that were her father's, the idols, the little idols that her father worshipped. And Jacob deceived Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he had fled. And so he fled with all he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the mountain of Gilead. Now, in verse 22, it says that it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, and he took his brethren with him and pursued after 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountain of Gilead. And Elohim came to Laban the Syrian in a dream of the night and said to him, Take heed to yourself, that you speak not to Jacob either good nor bad. And Laban overtook Jacob. Now, Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountain, and Laban with his brethren encamped in the mountain of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, What have you done that you have deceived me and carried away my daughters as captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and steal away from me and did not tell me that I might have sent you away with mirth and with song, with tabret and with harp, and did not suffer me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Now that you have done foolishly, it is in the power of my hand to do you harm. But the El of your father spoke to me last night, saying, Take heed to yourself, that you speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now you would have left because you longed after your father's house. Yet why have you stolen my Elohim? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, lest you should take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your Elohim, he shall not live. Before our brethren discern you, what is yours with me, and take it to you. But Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. See, when people are in idolatry, it's not the idol itself. That's in your heart. You think about it. There's only one living Elohim, and that's Yahweh. He's the only mighty one. He's the only one that can give eternal life. Yet, so many people are taken with these idols that they've made up in their minds. Because an idol is nothing. An idol is absolutely nothing. First Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1, it says, now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows not yet as he ought to know. But if any man loves Yahweh, the same is known by him. Concerning therefore the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that no idol is anything in the world, and that there is no Yahweh but one. For though there may be that are called mighty ones, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many mighty ones and many lords, yet to us is one Elohim, the Father of whom are all things, and we to him, and one Master, Yahshua the Messiah, through whom are all things, and we through him. However, there is not that knowledge in all men. But some being used until now to the idol, eat as of a thing sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Genesis 35, verse 1. See, Rachel stole her father's idol, took it with her, and he didn't find it when he went searching for it, because she pretended that she was at that time of the month, and it was in the saddlebags that she was sitting on, so she wouldn't get up, and he didn't expect her to. See. But Jacob, when he got to Bethel, in chapter 35, verse 1, and Elohim said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar to El, who appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau your brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the foreign Elohim that are among you, and purify yourselves, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto El, who answered me in the day of my distress. We want Yahweh to answer us when we call upon him. But if we have these idols in our hearts, okay, of the mobile variety, as Rachel had, even though she took hers on a camel, see, think about it. How many of you go somewhere without your cell phone? Because you leave yours, you forget yours. Everybody else carries theirs with them almost constantly. Do you think you can go a week without your cell phone or a day? It's very difficult for a lot of people. Okay? What? Why should you? Include myself. I am included in this when I speak about taking the cell phone with you and being 100% access. What I'm trying to show is that it's not a good thing in the eyes of Yahweh when you are supposed to be at one with Him, especially, say, on Day of Atonement. There's still people who are constantly looking at their cell phones, who are updating themselves, or, you know, their Facebook and things of that nature. It's not that important, brethren. It's not that important. See, if you're in a relationship, that other person is important in that relationship. And that other being in that relationship should be Yahweh with you. You have to have that one-on-one relationship with Yahweh first, even before you can have a successful relationship with someone else. See? And the reason I'm bringing this forth is because that's where the idolatry comes in. This is where Satan is gaining ground, because too many people cannot give up just even the 2 hours it is to be at services without being on their cell phone. Are we giving Yahweh the honor? Now, in verse 4, it says in Genesis 35, "And they gave unto Jacob all the foreign Elohim which were in their hand, and the rings that were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and a terror of Elohim was upon the cities were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, the same as Bethel, and he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there Elohim was revealed to him when he fled from the face of his brother." Almighty Yahweh is looking for a people who are sincere. They're going to be sanctified. They're going to be set apart for a holy purpose unto Him. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. But I say in verse 16, "Walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law," or the penalty of the law. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of the Messiah, Yahshua, have impaled the flesh with the passions and the lust of it. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another." I'm not saying it's a sin to have a cell phone. I'm not saying it's a sin to use it. I'm saying that if you allow anything to come between you and Yahweh, it is an idol. And that's idolatry. So the question is, how much, how determined are you when it comes to being on a high day, a Sabbath, a day that you're supposed to be spiritual, sanctified, set apart? Are you constantly having to be in touch with the world through your electronic device? It Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "And you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world." And we just read about some of those over here in Galatians 5. The fornication, the idolatry, the lasciviousness, the sorcery, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind. When we have overcome this world and Satan the devil, we're no longer doing those things, brethren. We're doing that which is right in the sight of Almighty Yahweh. We're keeping his covenant. We're keeping his Sabbath days. And were by the nature of children, by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But Elohim, being rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our sins, our trespasses, made alive together with the Messiah, by grace have you been saved. And raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in the Messiah Yahshua, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in the Messiah Yahshua. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in the Messiah Yahshua for good works, which Yahweh previously prepared that we should walk in them." Now, he's given us a pathway in which we're supposed to walk in. That's the covenant, the commandment. So most of us have been taught at least the Ten Commandments. We might not know all 613, but we know the ten. And Yahshua says they can be boiled down to two: to love Yahweh with all your heart and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if we do this, then we can say that we've overcome, that we're walking with Yahshua in truth. In verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "Therefore remember that once you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which that is called the circumcision," the Jews are calling you, the Gentiles, uncircumcision, "made by hands, that you were at the time separated from the Messiah, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel." You were outside that covenant. You didn't have that knowledge, but you have that knowledge now. "And strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in the world." And truly, without Yahweh, you have no hope. "But now," in verse 13, "in the Messiah Yahshua, you that were once far off are made near in the blood of the Messiah. For he is our peace, who made both one and broke down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to Yahweh through the torture state, having slain the enmity up by it. And he came and preached peace to you that were far off, and peace to them that were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. It's not many spirits, one spirit. So then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Yahweh, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the Messiah Yahshua himself being the chief cornerstone. The new temple is being built out of individuals who are being added to that chief cornerstone. It's a spiritual temple made of each one of us. If we're faithful, if we're not called away or taken away, in whom each building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Master, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of Yahweh in the Spirit. So this is what Yahshua wants us to do. He wants us to be a part of that temple, which is coming very, very shortly. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Page 948. Therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah as children of obedience. What are you being obedient to? What is there to be obedient to? Your parents? One thing, yes, as children. But he's talking about the covenant here, being obedient to keeping the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. Not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts and your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all manner of living. In everything that you do. See? So when you understand this, when you come to this knowledge, you think about, am I placing something between me and Almighty Yahweh? Because if you do, it's an idol. See? There's so many things that we can do today with the technology Yahweh has given us. Our iPads, our iPods, our, you think about it. So many things. But we cannot allow any of these to become an idol for us, to come between us and Almighty Yahweh. Because we're supposed to be holy in all manner of living. A big part of the way we live today is, like I said, mobile idolatry. You think about it. Even your cars today. You can just speak to the car and the car talks back to you. GPS, the whole nine yards. See? You can talk in text. You don't even have to do it with your phone. Our technology is just really something today. But he says, but like as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also holy in all manner of living, in everything you do. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judges according to each man's work, to the things that we do, each one of us are going to be judged according to what we do. So you think about it. Are you sanctified for a holy purpose? Have you been set apart to do Yahweh's will? Or are you doing your own thing at all times? Does Yahweh have a big part of your life, or does he have a small part of your life? Only you can answer the question. See? I have to answer that myself. You think about what you do. Have past the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you were redeemed, the word is Ga'al, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of the Messiah, who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of the times for your sake, who through him are believers in Yahweh, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in Elohim. And that's what we're here for, so that our faith would be in Yahweh. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1. Brethren, even if a man is overtaken in any trespass, any sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of the Messiah. For if a man thinks himself to be something, and too often that's the problem. This is why everybody has to be, you know, so connected. Because they believe that they're something that they're not. When he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glory and in regard of himself alone and not of his neighbor. See, that's what the scribes and Pharisees did. They had to be receive the praise of men. They wanted men to see them. That's why they had the long robes and, you know, the long zits. And they had to be seen of men. They did their long prayers to be seen and heard of men. See, we do our alms in private. We don't have to do them before men. We want Yahweh to give us the praise. You understand? We're not trying to make ourselves out to be something that we're not. Verse 4 says again, but let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glory and in regard of himself alone and not of his neighbor. For each man shall bear his own burden. But let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his own flesh shall reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. You have the spirit, you have the flesh. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially them that are of the household of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, it says, if any man teaches a different doctrine and consents not to sound words, the words of our Master Yahshua the Messiah, and to the doctrine which is according to holiness, he is puffed up, knowing nothing, but doting about questionings and disputes of words, of which comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, wranglings of men corrupted in mind and robbed of the truth, supposing that righteousness is a way of gain, but holiness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. But having food and covering, we shall be content with that. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some, reaching after, have been led astray from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, even as we have obtained mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Yahweh deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yahweh. And even if our message of good tidings is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the mighty one of this world, Satan the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the good tidings of the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Elohim, should not dawn upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but the Messiah, Yahshua, as sovereign, and ourselves as your servants for Yahshua's sake. Seeing it is Elohim that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yahshua the Messiah. See, that light is the Torah. And the Torah opens our eyes so that we're not blinded. We see the scripture. We see what Yahweh wants us to see. We're able to understand the commandments. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, our body, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of Yahweh and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not to despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, struck down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Yahshua, that the life also of Yahshua may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Yahshua's sake, that the life of Yahshua may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you, but having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe. And therefore I spoke, we also believe, and we therefore also speak, knowing that he that raised up the sovereign Yahshua shall raise us up also with Yahshua and shall present us with you. We're going to be presented to Yahweh. If we are the first fruits, as Yahshua, who was the Bikurim. That's why he was the wave offering. On the day after the Sabbath, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Yahshua was presented to Yahweh on that Sunday. That started the count towards Pentecost, day one. Okay? For all things are for your sakes, that the grace being multiplied through the many may cause the thanksgiving to abound to the glory of Yahweh. Therefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Brethren, in this day of mobile idolatry, each one of us must place Yahweh first in our life. when it comes to the holy days and the Sabbath, we have to have Yahweh first in our lives. We cannot have anything come between us and Almighty Yahweh. Because if we do, we're not going to be with Him called to be in His kingdom. Because we're going to be separated. We're not going to be sanctified for a holy purpose. We're going to be separated for Gehenna fire. So, brethren, each one of us can make that decision which direction we're going to go in. As we prepare for next week, we count down the last 7 days. We have a double Sabbath, a holy weekend, to get right and to be there before Yahweh when the people of Israel was given the covenant, when they were given the law, and they were given also the Holy Spirit. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you continue to serve Him and seek His face. At this time, I'm going to ask Brother Felix Panero if he would come up and close with a word of prayer. Would you all please rise at this time?
Bow your heads and come to Almighty Yahweh's presence. Almighty Yahweh, we come before you this hour, asking you, Father, bless us this day and help us, Father. Get close to you each day. We ask you, Father, that let every brother and sister listen to this beautiful message this afternoon. Thank you, Father, for this Sabbath day. Thank you for each brother here today to listen to this sermon. We ask you, Father, that you bless all the brothers and sisters in Israel. And bless, Father, each one. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.